All right. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald from the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're opening an informal hearing on case number PU07596, the Belfouche Pipeline 8-inch crude oil loop, McKenzie County. This is a pipeline field route modification request, and the company has information that they would like to share with us today, and they've asked that we would consider changes to the route, as I said, modifications. Request of their pipeline field route. The commission does have a process where if there are very insignificant changes to a field route that the staff can approve these. However, these involve more significant changes, approximately a mile and a half of route changes. So
Lengthwise.
So what we're holding this informal hearing today to hear in much more detail about these proposed route modifications and to have an opportunity to share this information with everyone. Okay, so I'm Commissioner Susan Wiefald. With me today are Commissioners Tony Clark and Kevin Kramer. Any comments from my fellow commissioners before we start?
Good afternoon and welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
All right, then we'll go first to commission staff and have them identify themselves for the record.
Patrick Fawn.
All right, and we're expecting Bill Binnick. He had a doctor's appointment, but he said he may be late and we should go ahead. And then from Belfouche Pipeline.
Yes, my name is Brian Biella. I'm with the law firm of Fleck, Mather & Strutz in Bismarck, representing Belfouche Pipeline Company in this matter. And we have one person here with us today that will be testifying, and also we have several individuals on the phone, and after Kathy identifies herself, I would ask them to identify themselves. Kathy?
Thank you, Brian.
My name is Kathy Spillman. I'm with K2 Engineers and Consulting out of Mandan, and we assisted Belfouche Pipeline in preparing the supporting documentation for obtaining the necessary permits to get access to construct this pipeline.
All right, and then on the telephone we have with us.
This is Tad True. I'm Vice President of Belfouche Pipeline.
All right, what was your last name, Tad?
True, T-R-U-E.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Bob Dundas, D-U-N-S. I'm the Environmental Coordinator for Belfouche Pipeline.
And we have also. What was your first name? We can't hear you, please.
Deborah, we're having a very hard time hearing you. Can you speak up, Deborah?
Deborah Bell.
You're still very
difficult.
Thank
you. We've got Deborah Bell, but if we need to hear from you, we're going to need to have you make some adjustments in your telephone connection, all right? And then we also have sitting in on our meeting today a representative from the State Historic Society, and your name is?
Paul Pica.
Paul Pica. Thank you, Paul, for attending.
Okay. Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you. Is Don Clark on the phone?
Yes, I am, Beth.
Don, is that your radio in the background?
No.
Okay.
All right. Do we have anyone else on the phone who wants to identify themselves? Okay, thank you. All right. Now we will go to Brian Biella.
Yes, commissioners, Kathy Spillman has identified herself, and she was testified at the hearing that occurred back in October, and she coordinated the environmental matters for Belfouche Pipeline, for this pipeline, and she has also been responsible for coordinating the environmental data for this these proposed reroutes, and she has previously prepared and submitted to the commission a letter dated January 11, 2008. And at this time, I'm going to ask her to just briefly summarize what's in the letter and the reroute. So I'll turn it over to Kathy if that'd be acceptable.
That would be fine. If she can go over with us the maps that were provided to us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The diagrams.
On behalf of our client, Belfouche Pipeline, we submitted a letter outlining two proposed reroutes of the 8-inch crude pipeline that was approved by the commission in November 2007. The construction crews are on site, and these reroutes were initiated based on suggestions from the construction crew, initially due to improve the constructability of the line. And in the case of the second one, as I'll describe in more detail, was extended further at the request of one of the landowners. The first one, for those of you, I'm assuming everybody has a copy of the map. The diagram I'm referring to, the exhibit, is a south reroute or the 21st Street reroute. This is the smaller of the two. And this particular reroute is on privately owned land. The diagram with the little rounded hump is the reroute that we submitted on October 30th at the public hearing. It was initiated due to the difficulty in obtaining the necessary easements from a landowner. So that was the proposed reroute and was approved as a part of the November permit that we received. As our construction crews got on site, in an attempt to make it more constructible, they're essentially tweaking the line a little bit. Pipe tends to be straight, not bended. And so what the surveyors actually went out there and staked is denoted, in this case, in red, is much more of a squared-off trapezoidal design. The maximum deviation from the approved route from the November 2007 order is 212 feet, and in some cases it overlays exactly where we were before. The same landowners, essentially the same purpose. Again, it's going to improve constructability, and the entire route lies within the study corridor that we're subject to review by various state and biological studies. So that's the easiest of the two. To our knowledge, based on the archaeological study done by our subcontractor, there were no archaeological areas of potential exposure identified in the area. The only avoidance area for this particular reroute was the residence, and in this case, the majority of the line is actually further away from that residence, so there will be some minor adjustments there. This particular reroute does involve three artificially planted tree rows, but because of the tree rows being evenly spaced, the number of trees that would be impacted by moving it plus or minus 50, 100 feet should be exactly the same. There are no water crossings involved in this particular reroute, so that should not be an issue.
Has the landowner been contacted?
The landowner has been contacted. Easements have already been obtained.
What is the maximum distance away from the other pipeline? It's difficult for us to tell with the diagram you've provided.
From the existing line? Well, from the approved reroute in the November order, it's 212 feet.
Maximum 212 feet.
Yes.
I don't have a color map in front of me.
Share.
Thank you.
I'll share.
Thank you. And the red is the proposed route, and the pink is the reroute.
Yeah, the pink was approved as part of the line of the hearing that we held in October.
The pink, all right.
Is essentially approved.
All right.
And
the
so
red is
the
what
red is
come
what we'd
for.
Like to tweak it to.
And that's why you say you're trying to, because pipe doesn't bend as much, you're trying
right.
to.
Right. I mean, it costs money to bend pipe. And so essentially what you're looking at is these straight sticks of pipe. And for us to draw it essentially without having a survey crew out there, we essentially showed it in this manner. And so the contractors are out there saying, we can bend two pieces of pipe to go around the corner here rather than bend an entire lot of sticks of pipe to make it round at that one corner. Mm-hmm. And there's really no advantage to making it round. In fact, the way it's laid out now would make it actually easier to pig the line.
Staff have any questions about this?
No questions.
All right. Commissioners, any questions about this?
Nope.
Do you have any questions about this particular reroute?
No.
All right. Okay, we're ready to go on to the next one then.
Okay, the next exhibit, which is labeled the North Reroute, which is west of the city of Alexander, is a little bit busier than the prior handout. In this case, the color coding is exactly the same. The white line through the center was the original pipeline route as presented in the pipeline application. The blue borders on either side is the approximate limits of the what we'll call the corridor study. We received a variance to limit the corridor width of the study for the permitting purposes to a mile width, so that represented a half mile on either side of the original proposed pipeline reroute. As we were finalizing the permit application, it was brought to our attention that Belle Fourche was unable to obtain easement rights under acceptable terms from a particular landowner. So as part of the October 30th public hearing held for this project, we had proposed a reroute around that parcel of land. That reroute was approved as part of the November 9th order, and that's shown in pink and denoted as the approved reroute. The various symbols on the map here are to represent those areas that have to do with areas of avoidance or items that were identified in our archaeological study as areas of potential exposure. What we are asking for is the pipeline route to be changed to correspond with what's denoted in red and labeled as the proposed reroute. The entire proposed reroute lies within the study corridor, and I believe in every case, whether it was residents, the US 85, or the electrical line, there are two municipal wells denoted in blue with the blue X's in them, and those were items that we discussed at the public hearing as being an area of concern. The proposed reroute actually moves away from all of these areas of potential impacts or areas to be avoided. The areas denoted in green with a numeric identifier beginning with 3-2, those are the areas of potential impact that were identified as part of our archaeological study. And it's probably worth mentioning that this reroute was prompted, again, by a constructability issue, probably not quite shown, but just at the edge of that land parcel to avoid, the stream, and that's Lonesome Creek, comes back to the south. And unlike some of the other water crossings, this particular water does not have any shrubs or trees associated and is more of a marshy type of situation. And so the construction crew assessed what was originally staked by saying, hey, you're kind of going through this marshy area, are not quite as stable from a soil standpoint. Can we move it over a little bit to make it improve the constructability and avoid making a bigger mess in this marshy area from an environmental impact? So that was the original premise for us to seek this reroute. And so
is that the... is that this stream area down here by the
yes, ma'am.
Parcel yes. to avoid?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Just between the land parcel to avoid and the pink line.
Yes.
If it wasn't there, you'd see that's a little bit broader, a little bit marshier. Mm-hmm. And so as they got up to the point of doing the topsoil stripping, they said, "Well, geez, this is getting a little too close." All of a sudden now, maybe we, can we consider something else?
Well, why didn't they just then make a detour at that one spot instead of going all the way up almost half a mile away from the proposed pipeline? If that was the main concern was crossing.
Well, I mean, they're moving it
spot.
From the pink line, and we're not a half
yes.
a mile away from the pink line.
No, but what I'm wondering is why didn't you just make a jog away from the pink line around the marshy area here instead of making this whole area a new pipeline
right.
route.
Okay. Well, the original expectation was, but we did not submit it because as we took our original intent, was essentially to do like a triangular, go up to the point, that apex point, and then kind of represent and keep going right back to the original line. But as we approached the landowners, or Belle Fourche representatives approached the landowners that were involved in it, they said, well, geez, as long as you're moving the pipeline, yeah. can you move it for my purposes and get it out of my feedlot? And, oh, by the way, as long as you're moving the pipeline, can you run it around this butte up here, which is, as you may recall from the public hearing, the landowner was concerned there's a natural spring feeding that stock pond there. And so can you take it, the other side, of my, still on their same property, still through cultivated land, and essentially go around the butte on the other side?
On the west side.
So on the west side rather than the east side of the Butte.
I mean, the obvious fact is that everything's moved a little further west from all of the infrastructure that could be impacted, whether it was okay or not before. It's more okay now, it appears. I mean, to oversimplify it a bit.
Right. And so essentially what they did is they take what we were originally going to come and ask for a reroute for the marshy issue. And to access this, I mean, the what's shown on there is actually an old rail bed where the railroad spur has been pulled up. And so we were going to, you know, angle back in on a kind of a triangular type of thing and then went north to accommodate the request of the landowner. But in the meantime, we're jogging a little further west than, you know, square because there's a tree row there. And so we're kind of jumping a little bit further, you know, 25 feet or so from that tree row so we're not impacting any of the existing trees. In this particular case, with the exception of that tree row, there are not any trees or shrubs involved. Okay. There are three artificially planted tree rows associated with the South Reroute. And so, essentially, that's kind of why this particular route was chosen. Like I said, it's further away from the residences. We're not impacting any of the areas, the archaeological identified areas, even though none of those areas that are denoted here are eligible for listing on the National Historic Register. And so and we're farther away from the municipal wells. We're farther away from the highway. So I'm hoping that you would agree with me that this is a win-win-win situation by approving this reroute.
Well, it's hard to see a downside.
It looks like that's exactly what it looks like to me, assuming that other agencies that would have other, you know, issues are in agreement.
Right. Mm-hmm. As a result of a teleconference held yesterday with the PSC staff, I sent out via email to the 21 agencies, actually now 22 because your intergovernmental affairs is now separate from the OMB, so it's 22 we made contact with, to essentially advise them of this situation. In particular, one agency contacted us, and that was Job Service, and I have a copy of the email we got. Job Service, North Dakota, is not affected by the proposed reroute. And at this point in time, those are the only formal responses that I've had.
Have you submitted to the commission a copy of what you sent?
Yes, ma'am.
To the agencies.
Yes, okay, ma'am. Pat Fawn got a copy. Okay.
All right. And then on this proposed reroute, it's going approximately, is it about 1/2 mile to the west of the original route?
It's not quite a half mile west because the half mile line would be indicated by the survey boundary because we did a half mile on either side. So just
about
look.
A quarter mile.
A little over a quarter mile.
Okay. And the, as you, and the landowners now along the whole rest of the route are happy with the route?
Right.
Because having this come before us now makes us wonder about.
Right. In addition to, as part of the package that was sent to the commission on the 11th, we had included the survey plats from Interstate Engineering where they indicate the landowners are essentially changed on a horizontal basis. So the fact that you're moving left or right, we're involving the exact same three landowners in the case of the North Reroute and one landowner in the case of the South Reroute.
Mm-hmm. It's just that that particular landowner prefers the current.
Right. And so and then you know, Deb can confirm this, but they approached the neighbors to the landowner on the North Reroute that requested this change to move further west, and both of the neighbors were amenable to this reroute.
Did this have anything to do with the electrical line, this 32MZ1561?
No, ma'am.
Did anything have to be arranged because the other route was very near the electrical line?
No.
There was nothing that needed to be done regarding that?
No, we had there was adequate space, even if we were to install at the original location. And that same spacing you'll see continues, well, you know, off, in this case, the north end of the map. So we had sited it originally so that that distribution line would not have been a concern.
With regard to contacting the now 22 agencies. What's kind of our normal, and I'm kind of looking at staff as well, what's our normal expectation for a response from agencies? And having somebody from the Historical Society is always helpful, because that would be one of the first ones we would be concerned about, would be cultural resources. But what would be kind of be normal
time frame
for a wait?
To
give them a chance to respond. Fair.
Actually, that question came up in our conference call, and I don't think we have an answer for that.
Normal
response time. Mm-hmm. How long should we wait?
I was thinking like 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. But
I wasn't able to hear that.
Tad, did you hear my question?
Yeah, I heard the question.
Okay, I'll let Pat respond.
Okay.
The answer was that we don't have an answer to the normal amount of time that we would wait before receiving a response. We don't have a standard amount of time for that. The commission could make a decision, today on how long they want to wait for those types of responses and direct staff to prepare their decision.
What if we made a considered now that the commission would make a decision, let's say 1 week from today, and then we would allow would be how many working days then? 4 or 5 working days for state agencies to be able to reach the commission, and if we received any significant concerns during that time period, we wouldn't act on the on that date. But if we hadn't, we would be able to.
First of all, let me ask: do you know of any cultural resource issues in this that would be of concern?
I mean, the area has been looked at along the.
Maybe pull that microphone over.
Along the transmission line north of there, which is the basically, as Commissioner Weefald was just mentioned, that's the WAPA transmission line that was. Which is Western Area Power Administration, which is a federal agency. That corridor was looked at. The two reroutes that were as was indicated previously, the two reroutes in pink were included within the cultural resources report, which was previously approved. Of these two, the southern one, when in all practicality, according to the report, the right of way APE was 150 feet. So, in all practicality, the southern reroute would have been covered at least partially or totally during that route. In the case of the northern one, it's a little. It's certainly further afield, but they're at least up to the northern. At the northern end, obviously, it parallels the. There would have been two recent studies: the WAPA survey as well as the pipeline survey. And we are talking about as the commissioner has indicated, a deviation of a little over a mile, and in terms of length and. Horizontally, I think it said in the email, 1,300 feet, quarter of a mile or thereabouts. It looks like they're some of this probably would have been at least potentially or tangentially looked at during the course of those two investigations.
Sure.
We don't have, based on the prior work, we don't have cultural resources, either as site leads and or recorded sites within that northern proposed reroute. And it's not surprising that the resources that have been recorded, at least in are to the south of there and along that creek, which is always a concern near waterways.
Sure.
I guess at this point, would like to know if there would be potentially any other environmental concerns. It looks like parcels in question have been previously tilled. In that case, I mean, if there were, shall we say, rock features of some sort or another, in all likelihood, they have been removed. Mm-hmm. You know. So.
Well, I was thinking that as well when I looked at the aerial photos. It is looks like it's all tilled land. So. The reason I ask, except to be, but it's going around that, right? And so here's why, and I appreciate kind of this thing, this discussion, because, and I haven't talked to anybody, but Tad, do you know where you are in the construction of this? Because my sense is, thinking back to November, that there was some urgency about it, and I suspect that today there's even more urgency. Not that would necessarily impact what we have to get done today, but it would be helpful to know what your situation is on the ground there.
Yeah, where we are right now is we are have cleared right away along the approved path, but skipped the portion, this new portion, and the right-of-way people are about to finish up into Alexander. What we'd like to do is, instead of incurring making them sit, is come back and begin construction, or begin clearing right-of-way there. As far as the pipe stringing and the pipe welding, obviously they have to follow along the right-of-way, and they can't string or, weld the pipe until that right-of-way around this proposed reroute is done. My biggest concern is that we are in a big push to get this constructed by and have it operational by March 1st, and we've hired extra crews to come in and to accomplish this. And the biggest concern I have is that, because we're in, this is such an urgent matter that if we miss that one, if we miss it by one day, in all actuality, it pushes us back by another month. And the reason for that is because if we don't have it operational by, say, the end of February.
Yep.
The scheduling, or for March's business, March's business has to be ready to go, and we do all of March's business within the whole month. If we miss it by a day, then that means we have to wait for April's business to commence. And
is the whole rest of the pipeline completed now, except for this these two sections?
No.
No, well then, why couldn't you work on another section of the pipeline then while the commission's waiting to find out if state agencies have any concerns about this?
Well,
let's say if there was, I don't know if the commission will want to wait 1 week, but if we did wait 1 week, what else can you be working on during that time period?
Well, as far as the right-of-way crew goes, there's nothing left for them to work on.
And what does the right-of-way crew do?
The right-of-way crew actually goes out and clears the brush, clears off the topsoil, and then provides the
trench,
the ground available to lay the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how long do you anticipate it's going to take them to do this work on this section?
That section, my guess is probably 3 to 4 days.
Okay, so they can move pretty fast when they get going, right?
Certainly.
Right, so...
And my only concern is, there's two concerns. On as far as the right-of-way people go, since they're almost completed with the right-of-way, the right-of-way clearing up into Alexander... we will have to pay standby time until they can come back and start clearing right away at these proposed reroutes.
Tad, this is Brian. You indicated to me this morning they would essentially be done tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's right.
Well, maybe one way to resolve this would be The company has sent an email to each of these state agencies. Perhaps it would be more time effective for the company to call each state agency now and ask them to contact the commission
or even just respond
if they have,
just as job service did.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, let's face it. The reality is probably they're all going to respond, say, we have no concern, which by not responding is what they're saying is if we give them a week or two, but if we wanted to expedite that process of declining to respond, we could get them to respond.
And they could. You could ask them to respond to the commission just saying, you know, we have no concerns or we have some concerns.
Did all of these agencies respond actually have a response in the initial?
I was thinking that very clearly.
Application, or were there some that never responded?
Everybody didn't respond, and we specifically asked for two agencies to formally give us, one being the State Historical Society. Actually, that formal response, which I believe should be in your file, we should have have copies in your file. In fact, there was one to Commissioner Weefall was sent to you. That was prompted based on a call from us to do that. They were actually waiting on a notice from the federal archaeologist, and so they were kind of waiting for that trigger, and that didn't happen. So based on a call, they gave us this letter. And then the other one, I believe, was the North Dakota Fish and Wildlife Service, or North Dakota Game and Fish. And based on a phone call specifically requesting that, they gave us a letter, which I believe you also have a copy of, saying they had no concern.
So those are the only two that responded with anything?
Only
because you followed up.
Yes. Now, just to expand upon, because in an attempt to at least meet that same level of performance, I contact the State Historical Society, of which we have a representative here today, and we also contact the North Dakota Game and Fish, and the question that we got from, was it Joseph Schumacher? John Schumacher, was, well, is it in the corridor? And we said yes, and he says, okay, you know, I'll get you a letter, but, like, I'm busy right now. So once we responded that it was in the study corridor, he seemed to be less concerned.
Why don't you ask him to send something then in the next day or so?
Okay.
Yeah. I certainly don't think we need to be more diligent in getting responses from state agencies that didn't respond to the first original application as opposed to a small reverse.
Here's what I would like to propose, colleagues. Because we are getting together, we have a work session on Friday on the Keystone case. If the company could get some responses in lieu of a time frame, you know, a longer time frame to not get a response, you know, and whatever that comfort level is, whether it's these two agencies that Kathy just mentioned or some other standard, perhaps we could have enough of a comfort level to have a special meeting on, you know, like right before the Keystone work session or something like that, or right afterwards. But I share your concern that, you know, to give state agencies like 18 hours to respond to an email and then act on their lack of response doesn't seem real responsible.
It doesn't. That's why, because of the shortness of the time frame here, if there could be a phone call made to those state agencies, I don't think it won't take that long a time to make 21 phone calls and to just ask them to send the commission a notice that they, because we're accelerating things so much here, to ask them to send a message saying they have no problem with what's proposed.
Well, I was hoping that since we put Pat Fon's email on his phone that maybe he'd gotten some responses. But apparently not.
Okay. Well, and they're used to not responding. I mean, that's their affirmative, is to not respond. But given that you're you want a shorter time frame, I think the best way to deal with that is to get them to respond with their affirmative.
Feel more comfortable because we just know there hasn't been a lot of time, mm-hmm. and emails particularly don't sometimes get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's.
And if they're called and they don't respond, you can take that as a don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. If they're told on the phone, look, we need an answer by, you know, the end of work Thursday or by 9 o'clock Friday morning, and they don't respond, then we can deal with that differently then. Because I understand, I have some concern. This project from the very beginning has been on a short time frame. We've tried to accommodate that urgency, and I think we have. and we're being asked to again, and I'm glad to do that as long as we can be comfortable that everyone.
And if they do have a concern, we don't need the final answer, you know, on Friday. But
right, but at least
they
tell
us. Be able to say, hey, there's a red flag here, yeah. Or there's just not a red flag. I mean,
right, yeah, we don't expect an EIS done by Friday morning at 10, but at least tell us if there should be one. So does that seem like a fair plan?
Okay, and then we.
I mean, does that seem?
Mm-hmm. Well, that
there are probably 20 of those 22 agencies, so we never hear from. But nonetheless, we are.
Culture, though, we sometimes.
We do sometimes.
Well, in my experience, yeah, they typically do not respond, as Kathy said. The only ones that typically respond are Game and Fish, and then obviously we have to get clearance from SHPO. So, and those two haven't contacted and have already said okay, as I understand. I don't want to put words
but
in
anyway.
Your mouth there. But because even by Friday would mean, at least if I understand correctly, a one-day shutdown for sure.
It may mean that, but we'll try to, if we can.
And then put on for a meeting in the early afternoon if we had a work session in the morning.
Well, I don't know why we would need a work session, though, unless there's a problem.
Were you suggesting at
5 minutes before 10 o'clock or something. We have a 10 o'clock meeting scheduled already. Friday morning. If we just know
it's damn cold to work outside.
yeah, this would be a good day to take the rest of the week off, Tad. Just take the rest of the week off. Tell you guys, and add another foot of frost to the ground. That'll help. But you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we could do it by 10 o'clock Friday morning, assuming that, you know, we get affirmative responses, or I guess negative responses back from
them. And we'd need to have some type of assurance from you that you'd contact somebody at all 21 agencies. I think that's important, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We could get your letter to that effect.
That would be great, actually. Because the reality is you might not get some of them sitting down and sending Pat an email. Mm-hmm. But at least we need some assurance. Okay, does that sound fair enough?
So now, you just for a logistics sake, say it's 9:50 on Friday. you want to call the same number then?
You know, Tad, to be honest, you wouldn't need to. You could just listen in. We'll audio stream on the internet the meeting. There's no opportunity for back and forth between you and the commission anyway. That would just be the official meeting that we would have to notice and then have the vote.
Okay.
I mean, we can certainly call you if you want us to, but it's not that necessary.
Okay.
It's pretty uninteresting.
Brian won't be here.
Yeah, Brian won't be here, I'll bet.
Okay, and with that, we'll close the informal hearing. And
Brian.
Just clarification, Commissioner, would the order be issued that day then?
Yes.
That would be our intent, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. All right, as long as we get some substantiation of agency contact and
those findings of fact
from you. Mm-hmm. All right, case number PU07596, Belfouche Pipeline, is now concluded.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Commissioners, thank you very much. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Yeah,
thanks, Tad. Good luck.
I know Pat wants that job service. I know that was top on your list there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So now one down.
They don't need to make
21 to go.
One down, right? Okay, we've got one call down here.
Oh, maybe two down, yeah.
One down.
And I guess for, is this the final?
Is this the final?
For now.
This is
okay. This is how we operate. This, for now, this is it. Okay.
This is from.
Our life's been anything but stable.
Okay, so two down.
Yeah, and we could just put.
Okay.
That works for me.
Okay.
This is a little unusual, you know.
We have
not usually had this major a change.
Yeah. At least it's on the quarter. That's right. For all the agencies.